Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. This is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, even though we're eating nachos. We're at Nacho Mama's. We are in Towson having fun, celebrating Towson, celebrating a very, very hot platter of nachos, I would say, right out of the broiler. It's okay if it throws my back out. Dr. Steve is here. Dude, I don't have you on the show enough. So when I dream up this Maryland Crab Cake Tour thing, and by the way, my legs are cramping up as we speak, this was really about sort of kinship, friendship. I've never had the crab cake here, and when I thought, we're going to go to Towson, this is and I'm glad you could make it today. You don't have like a rugby match or whatever it is you do
tomorrow.
When you're not adjusting me and fixing me and getting me upright.
Tomorrow, you know.
All
it's
right.
3 days a week, whether I need it or not.
Rugby.
Yep.
Listen, I've done 5 rugby segments in 30 years of radio. You've been my friend and sponsor since 1998. We met in 1998.
Yep.
I think you called me the week the radio station opened in August of 98 and
yep.
said, hey, dude, I hear you like chiropractors. I'm right down the street if you ever need something. I'm like, I'm opening a radio station. My back hurts. I'll be right over. I think I came over an hour later. And,
yeah. Well, Steve came by first and warned me.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. That the tornado was coming through.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it was pretty funny because I did. I called and I said, listen, I said, I've listened to you for a little bit. I said,
I know you're crazy.
I said, you're kind of on the edge of society, bro. Like, you're doing some stuff that other people aren't doing. I said, and chiropractic's got a little bit of that reputation as well.
I do remember you saying that.
And that's why I wanted us to get together, because I thought we could make beautiful music together.
And here we are 23 years late. I'll drink to that. By the way, I have officially started drinking. And this is an homage to my friend Julio Bermejo. Allison is here, and we're not having her on until her second drink, okay?
Oh, my God.
Allison is the better half of the Elliott Chiropractic Life Center. We all know that. I didn't order the Brussels sprouts, but they just came. You order those? Can I hold those up for the camera? Let me see what. Or is it too hot? Is it hot? Is it spicy? Look at these. Look good. Wow. Yeah. I'm eating my greens, Mom. You know, Steve's mom. Mm. See, I know your mom, and you knew my mom.
Yeah, I just had lunch with my mom.
How's your mom?
She's good. She's good. You know, that's what I do on Friday afternoons. Now I go to my mom's house, and we discuss.
Have meatloaf.
Sometimes.
Okay, all right.
Most of the time it's...
How old's your mom now?
What's that? How old? She's 39.
Is she healthy?
Yes.
Good. That's all I need to know. I just haven't seen her in a while, man. I love your mom.
Yeah, she... Listen, my mom's an inveterate Facebook poster. Whenever you and your wife put something on Facebook, my mom is answering.
I love it.
Even if it's
love you, Mildred.
Even if it's not intended for her, she's chiming in.
Right on. Well, you've been my sponsor, my friend, all these years, and I never have you on. And you love football, and you love sports, and you love beer, and you love traveling, and you love philosophy.
Yeah.
I mean, you're sort of like, I built Baltimore Positive. When Mueller goes away at the end of the year because he wants to go into semi-retirement again, I should make you my, like one of my buddies that comes out and does this every day.
One of your sidekicks?
Well, I mean, because you said I was living on the edge of society in 1998. What would that make me now? I mean, I'm seriously, what have I become? What have you created by being a sponsor of mine?
Oh, my gosh. Well, look, you're not center of society. Let's put it that way.
Really?
Not yet.
I told Mueller I was electable. You don't agree with that?
Well, that doesn't mean you're center of society, Ness. I mean,
that's a good point.
Right?
All right.
Nowadays, center of society never gets elected.
All right. Johnny O thinks I'm not electable, but that's okay. He's electable.
Maybe he thought you said delectable.
These nachos are delectable, I'll tell you that. Maryland Crab Cake Tour is sponsored by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'm having a margarita. Steve Elliott is here from the LA Chiropractic Life, and we're going to have a crab cake later. I came in here so hungry, and the bartender says, get these beef nachos, delicious. So I'm into that.
Yeah.
So what is your – I don't never ask you this. Give me your whole story about, like, why your Chiropractic Life Center is where it is and all that. Did you ever have another location? You always been on Joppa Road.
No, well – long story short, I
don't know the story.
So in what year did I open? 89. In 89, I opened in 89.
You went to school in Atlanta, but you're like totally a like Northeast Baltimore.
I grew up Missoula Road.
Where'd
right
you go
there?
To high school? I don't even know.
Lock Raven High School.
I've never asked you that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Lock Raven High School, Essex Community College, Chiropractic College. So life's in Marietta, Georgia.
So you opened in 89.
I opened in 89, and I rented a building in Perry Hall. It was right on Bel Air Road. It was a perfect spot.
Bel Air and what?
Bel Air and crap, I can't think
Perry
of the name.
Perry Hall or
no, it was Perry Hall. It was just,
okay.
It's, what's that? Yeah.
Not like Parkville. Okay. Chapel no. Road. No.
Look past that. Just past that. Right at like right by. Yes.
Near Comrades.
Near
okay.
Comrades.
All right. Fair enough.
And at that point, the county had changed some zoning, and suddenly my wish to open that business wouldn't go through.
Okay.
So I'm driving down Joppa Road, and I drive past a beauty salon that has a for rent sign out front.
So you like you didn't have a realtor?
Nope.
You just plopped down.
I made a phone call. Talked to a guy named Tony Myers-Wicky. Tony Myers-Wicky, great guy. He owned that property and some others. And so Tony became my first landlord. He rented to me for about 8 years.
Wasn't there like a
years.
Big golf thing next to, your, next to you?
Yeah. That was
always a giant golf club.
Right. That was the Nemecks. Diz Nemec and Mrs. Nemec ran that place. I went to high school with the Nemecks, so it was like, you know, yeah. It's, this
dude, there were not a lot of golf places in 1990 anywhere.
Those dudes were doing custom clubs, you know, they were doing some amazing stuff.
Yeah, I mean, golf clubs were like something you went to like Kmart to buy or Sears. Back then, I'm talking about, you know, it wasn't like, and before Dick's or before any of those kind of box shop Sports Authority and those places.
No,
came,
they,
right?
They were taking pro shop stuff and putting it out into the retail sector, right? So... So, yeah, they were old friends, and I ended up renting a building right next door to them. So that's what's weird about Baltimore, right? It really is small Baltimore. I always laugh. I always talk about when somebody comes into my office that they're going to run into somebody they know or somebody that their friend knows. And I always say that
dude, I come into your office this morning, and the dude coming out starts asking me about the Ravens and is pissed off about offsides.
Right.
I came in here, I put this down.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't been to Towson in a while. Who am I going to run into? A bunch of cute college girls here and whatnot running around. Yeah, cute college girls. You're damn right they're cute college girls here. and they were sitting right here. And it turns out the father and the other one was the niece. They were cousins. The girls were cousins. They're students at Towson, and they're bio students, and the dad was a fan. And, you know, I said, where do we drink together? He's like, in Nashville. I'm like, all right. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a little bit of that going on, too. We got wings.
Yes.
This is the Scunny sauce. I've never had. So, I mean, I have such a rich history with Nacho Mamas because I knew Scunny in the beginning, and I know your family had a tie to Scunny as well. And I started eating in his place very early on. Like, my relationship with Amici's, Looney's, probably goes to 1995 and 6 and 7. Like, before. On the wall here, there's a huge cult sign. It predates the Ravens, for sure. I knew Scunny before the Ravens existed, for a million percent for
right.
sure. So you're talking about generationally a long, long time ago. And I'm telling you, I ate in that place in Canton conservatively 500 times. Conservatively 500 times. I was in there. I lived in East Baltimore.
Yep.
I was in there all the time. And I always ordered the same thing. I got the chicken nachos with the rice and the black beans. And sometimes I get a margarita, sometimes I get some chips. The chips are really familiar and delicious to me. Can I get some salsa? All right. Yeah. Thank you. The salsa is so familiar to me, and I don't have any of it. It's that chunky, tomato-y deliciousness. It was always really sweet. I love the salsa because it didn't put me on fire.
Yeah.
So I had this long, rich history, but I've never had wings at Nacho Mamas. You need some wings? Oh, yeah, go ahead, have some wings. Allison, when she's done, she's really going to pick the program up, I think.
Because it's tough to do a program while you're eating?
So give me the modern state of chiropractic, because, look, we can get political on this program because it's what we do. People have voted and believe in all sorts of witchcraft. Like, literally, right? We talk about this all the time. And I had so many people in my life the first 30 years of my life that would call a chiropractor, it's a witch doctor, you know, like all this crazy stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, I've been going to chiropractic for 30 years, and there's nothing about it that doesn't make sense about why I'm in pain right now because I'm subluxed here. Where, sacrum? What do I got going on?
L5 sacrum, yeah.
Okay.
We shouldn't talk about that. There's HIPAA laws, Nestor. I'm just kidding.
I'm not a hippo. although there's a really cute one at the Cincinnati Zoo. I'm going to visit at some point. Well, you know, in all sincerity, I mean, your practice and the reputation of chiropractic, I think it's come a long way with people I know. Matter of fact, today, someone told me they saw their chiropractor this morning. Like, people openly talk about their chiropractor now. You know?
Well, you know. So
everybody's had a backache. I'll stay with us. Start with that.
Everybody has a spine. So everybody needs a chiropractor as far as I'm concerned, because that's what we deal with. So, you know, our thought process is that your nervous system runs through your spine holds you up. If there's an issue in that space,
you know it.
There's going to be a problem eventually if we don't take care of it. So that's what we do. We evaluate the human spine for interference and position of vertebra and help to straighten that stuff out.
Why was that such a foreign concept to some people? I mean, is it based in Eastern philosophy? Because I remember growing up in Dundalk, if anything was Eastern or holistic, if it didn't come in a pill at the pharmacy, right? Literally, how could it possibly be effective, you know? And now we have, like, vaccines. We're arguing against science.
Right.
You know, nobody seemed to argue. They used to argue against your science or holistic science or Eastern, those sciences they didn't understand.
So, yeah. So
not that they understand the vaccine, by the way.
I would state that there's always business pressures. There's always philosophical differences in all of the things we partake in. And I would say there's a philosophical difference amongst mainstream medicine and what would be termed old school chiropractic philosophy, in that the belief is that we can affect the human organism by
adjusting,
making changes in the human spine. Right? So,
how important is the spine? I mean, let's go to 101. I mean, just so for how, not just that it hurts or functionality.
So, how long can you last without water? Several days? Several weeks? No, I mean, without food, several weeks. Without water, several days. Without air, a minute or two. Without a spine, you're done.
I haven't thought
you're
about
done.
My spine, even though it's been hurting all day. I think we think about our brain, think about our eyes, think about our teeth, think about washing our hands now. We think about our breath now because it's in our mask. Like, things that we think about in our body, our toe hurts,
right.
Or, you know, whatever.
We think about our somatic nature, our physical nature. We don't think about the communication that takes place in that space. We don't think about the thing that runs it all.
The nerves.
Correct. We think about the expression of it. So what is it doing on the outside? How is it affecting me and my daily life to get from point A to point B? And
dude, you know, today's the day for me. I'm in pain. You've seen me the last couple of days.
Yep.
I was carrying a roller bag to an airport, 4.5 miles on the subway.
Yeah.
And I tweaked myself, right? Like,
yeah.
And I remember one of the first times I really ever came and it was really hurt with you. I pulled I had four drawers, giant, you know, file cabinet drawers, and I did the old pull out. And you have to unlatch and move.
Yep.
And that was, I mean, I was a mess. People come in and see you. How much do they really understand? You've done such an amazing job of educating me, right? And I've educated myself. My son's been a patient. My wife,
forever.
My friends, my
yep.
family, right? All of us have become educated about it to some degree without really understanding what a spine is or how it really works. But we know when we're infirm. I know when I'm out of line. I can feel things, especially my neck and my shoulders. But when someone comes in for the first time and they're 53 years old and they may or may not have gone to Essex Community College for some background in physiology, maybe didn't make it out of science in 10th grade, right?
Right.
We're certainly not telling you the periodic table of elements or anything, but they're just a regular person. They come in and they've hurt themselves by doing something stupid like that. The synapse, great word there, between what you're doing to them and what they understand in the beginning. I would feel like so much of what you have to do from the very beginning is not just I'm the witch doctor, I'm the chiropractor, believe in me, explaining to them how it really works, because they're paying you and they want to know, right?
Yep. So it,
and they've all been referred by someone, right?
Usually, yes.
Yeah.
Well, those make the
and they've tried everything.
And they make the best patients.
And
the
they've tried everything. Right?
Yes.
Literally.
Well, okay. Yes, because I'm, you know, typically we're last resort people,
right? Okay,
right?
Fair enough.
Right. It's like people that advertise with you.
Right. Okay, thank you.
So,
spoken like a true longtime advertiser.
First thing you need to do is address their complaint, right? Like you can't just. Somebody comes in and says, hey, this hurts. I can't just ignore that and go, right, well, the problem's up here, not down there. You know, we have to address the complaint. And then we just have to educate folks about how that complaint relates to what their spine is doing at this time and how that's affecting their nervous system and their physiology. And from there, how do we make those corrections over time? So that's sort of the process.
Mm. I'm trying to think at what point in my relationship with you that I understood that it hurts here, but it's not coming from here. Like, right now, I hurt here, but it's coming from underneath of me.
Yeah. Well,
literally. Yeah. I mean, so a spine running up,
yeah.
Feeling the pain in your shoulder, your neck. And I learned this so much when my knee was cut on, right? When I had my knee surgery, I was all out of balance. Everything that happened to the right screwed me up on the left. And the only thing that really saved me, besides Elliott Chiropractic Life, was yoga.
Yeah.
You know, and I talked to Victor Brick about this week. He's doing a huge thing with Planet Fitness. I invite everybody to move your mental health. You want to go out to John W. Brick Foundation. Had him on. Talking about mental health. I'm talking about movement.
Yeah. It's and huge.
It's everything. You have to move.
Absolutely. That's what we're built to do. We are built to move. And neurologically, what that does is that drives the way your brain works. And when your brain works well, your mental health is elevated.
See, right? We all realize, like, I'm sitting here playing with these crazy nachos right now at Nacho Mama's, and we're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, and I'm very cheesy and very meaty right now and very chippy. And I don't even, if I'm eating on the air, I'm just going to be rude because I'm hungry. But the point would be, I'm pissed off. I'm hangry. I'm a little short. I'm sure, you know, I'm dehydrated. I haven't eaten anything. We all understand that. We all understand hangry. Mm-hmm. I didn't eat anything this morning. My sugar's getting low. You know, whatever that would be. I think other parts of our body, we don't think so much about that. Until it hurts.
Or until we can't figure out what's going on.
Dude, I swear to God, I was dancing with Mick Jagger 72 hours ago in St. Louis, and I thought to myself, he feels good, and I feel good. And that's all that matters in the world. And then 3 days later, he's out drinking in Charlotte, shaking his ass last night, and I can't get out of bed. And I'm trying to get to Pittsburgh Monday to see the Stones again. So, you know, it's incredible how quickly you can fall off a curb and stub your toe, and all of a sudden, you realize you probably shouldn't have worn sandals, you know. So, for me.
We are complex organisms, buddy. And so, yeah, you can't go through life wrapped in bubble wrap. You got to live life. And part of living life is you're going to experience issues that need to be addressed and corrected, whether it's strictly through, you know, your experience with your chiropractor, or whether it's you making sure you do the right stuff with regard to what you're reading, what you're eating, how you're exercising. You know, is my mind right? Is my body right? Is my attitude right? How am I making it through the next?
Allison got me the Brussels sprout, so I know I'm eating right. I know I got some greens here. Dr. Steve Elliott is my guest, my friend. He's my chiropractor. He can be yours. At LA Chiropractic Life, the second I make a mess. I'm having margaritas, we're eating nachos, we're on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. And I've talked a lot of Ravens football with you over the years and sports and all that, but you're the original rugby guy. You're wearing the Baltimore Chesapeake rugby football thing. Give a little business background, a little primer on how my back's going to get better before Mick Jagger needs me on Monday in Pittsburgh. as you can see, I'm sitting funny. I'm all antsy and awkward, uncomfortable. But for rugby, I would think Lamar Jackson's back's hurt this week, right?
Yeah.
Sort of famously, right?
Problematic.
Maybe that could, yeah, I would say, I'm sitting at home on ice on Thursday afternoon and thinking, you know, I've had an incident, I've seen you once, I know I'm going to see you again, and I'm thinking, man, how am I going to feel Sunday at 4 o'clock? You know, am I going to be sitting on the couch, am I going to be tweeting, what am I going to be doing? I'm thinking, I'm not playing in an NFL game.
Right.
And the rugby thing, and I think you came out with me with Haloti Ngata many moons ago.
Yep.
It was 15 years ago, right?
Yeah.
That's how long we've known it. But Haloti was famously a rugby guy. I don't know that I've done 10 segments on rugby ever. You do know I famously sat with one of the most famous rugby players in the world.
Yep.
Sharni Williams. You can look her up. Sharni. Sharni is from Australia. I was on a flight from Sydney to L.A., and she sat next to me for 14 hours, and we got to know each other. And yeah. I told you the story.
Yeah, you brought me autographed something for me.
This is the craziest story ever, because the only rugby story I have two rugby stories. They both involve Australia, not you, but I was in a rugby bar in 1998, and like one of the really famous rugby guys was the Cal Ripken of rugby. I had no idea who he was, but everybody in the bar in Sydney was like, you know, and nobody had cameras 1990.
Right.
So that's the only rugby story I have. So I get on a plane in Sydney 5 years ago, right after the Olympics, the 16 Olympics in Rio, and a bunch of girls get on. And these were, you know, burly ladies. They had gym bags. They were not volleyball players. We were trying to figure out what they did. They weren't tall. They looked like soccer players. You know, they were athletes. And they got on, and the girl sits next to me, and we get to talking as we're taking off. And I saw their bags was rugby. And I said, oh, you guys are you going to the States, right? Yeah, yeah, we're playing in the 7-on-7 in Vegas. I'm like, okay. So we get to, like, talking or whatever, and I'm like, ah, you were in the Olympics. She's like, yeah, we won the gold. I'm like, yeah, I'm flying with the gold medal rugby team. We got bumped onto a Qantas flight, okay? So we're on Qantas, wide, you know, 12 seats, giant plane, right? And all the rugby girls are sitting with us in the back of, like, the coach in the middle area. And there was a three-seater. So Jen, me, and this gal, Sharni. And, you know, the seats on those big planes are all buckety and cozy with the little hood wraps and whatnot. They give you blankets. And it's like the Seinfeld episode. You know, more of everything, you know? So we sit there. We're on a 14-and-a-half-hour flight. So I got a lot of time to talk to this young lady. And my wife dozes off. So I start to, like, really talk to her. She's an auto mechanic from right near the outback in the bush. And she starts just... I didn't realize if she was the captain or... I asked what she... I'm forward. You know, she told me when she played or whatever. I said, I don't know rugby. I know football. Let me just get to talking. 3 hours into the plane, we were, like, getting to know... We were having a drink and we're talking, you know? My wife's asleep. She's drooling out like a light. And I said, I say to Sharni, she gives me her name and told me her name. She said, yeah, we won the gold. I didn't ask her anything. So Sharni's like on her laptop doing her thing. And I pull the Qantas magazine out. And I'm fingering through it, like just reading it. And I come to, you know, page 28. And there she is in the Qantas magazine with a 2-page section on her whole life story.
Right.
And her outspokenness about lesbianism and her outspokenness about being in Rio and, like, all of this stuff. And now I'm reading about her as she's sitting next to me, and I elbowed her because you can elbow an Australian woman, a rugby player. And I pointed, and I'm like, what's this? She's like, oh, you know, I don't brag on that, you know? So then she falls asleep. 8 hours in, my wife wakes up. I elbow Jen, and I said, turn to page 27 of Qantas magazine. Jen looks over at her, looks at the magazine, and says, well, I don't... There's just no way that that could be possible. This girl could sit next to you on a plane with 500 people.
It's like... That's it would be like sitting next to Megan Rapinoe, right? In other words, the most
famous... I sat next to Mia Hamm once.
Right, the most famous soccer player... in the women's game in America. That's the most famous...
But you don't know anything about soccer.
That's right, what I mean. Right. If you didn't know anything about soccer, you're sitting next to Megan Rapinoe. So here you are sitting next to Sharni Williams from a rugby-mad country like Australia, and she's a big shot there. Now, there's some issues about the discrepancy between the men's game and the women's game as far as compensation and all those things, like the rest of the world.
Right.
So I think they're working really hard in Australia to make sure that that's an even playing field. So... when this young woman is in a 2-page spread in Qantas magazine, that's, you know, that's a pretty big deal.
It was a huge deal.
Right?
And, like, I was just kind of blown away. And rugby is around the world. I mean, obviously, I mean, you talk about New Zealand, and I remember you showing me hakas, and when teams come over, the All Blacks come over and play, Chicago, they sell 90,000 tickets. It's,
yep.
There is a real thing for rugby. You've had... it from the beginning. I mean, you've been a rugby fan your whole life, right?
I was a lacrosse player and football player in high school.
I'm going to eat wings.
Then I went to Essex Community College for 2 years and played lacrosse there. And I finished up my lacrosse. I guess I was 19 years old. And I was working at, you remember the old Towson Nautilus? Remember the old Nautilus gyms that became Merit, right? They had the racquetball, right? So I was working there as a trainer. And a couple of guys come through that are clients and members, and this one guy looks at me, my buddy Nick Seropoulos, who happens to be good friends with Rasig. That's how I met Rasig.
Greek, Nick.
Yeah, Nick the Greek.
He brought us donuts every day the first 10 years of the radio station.
Exactly. So Nick looks at me one day and says, dude, what are you doing athletic right now? You playing any sports, doing anything? I said, nah, I'm not doing anything. He said, come play rugby. I'm like, rugby, that's crazy.
Nick the Greek recruited you?
He's the guy. He's my man.
God bless the Greek people, man. I love them. All of them.
So the next thing you know, I go to a rugby practice. I go and try rugby out. I practiced one time, and then on Saturday I'm playing in a rugby game, and I fell in love with it right then and there.
What year was this?
This was 1979.
Man, way before you were a chiropractor.
Yep. Yeah.
There's something really weird about you. You tell me being like independently weird, and we become friends over years. It's really weird about a chiropractor doing rugby.
There's a
story.
You know
what I mean? Like, yeah, I mean, I was going to say, dude, like that.
There's a story.
I mean, it's like being the guy that breaks somebody's teeth and then fixing them. Right? The sort of like that.
Dentist boxers, you're saying? Right,
exactly. Exactly. Dentist boxer, right. You come in, you see the dentist, he's got no teeth, and he smiles, and you're like, hey, all
right. Right. So here's the chiropractic / rugby story.
I want to hear this.
Ready? My school in Atlanta, Georgia, Life Chiropractic College, which is now Life University, was founded by a man named Dr. Sid Williams. Dr. Sid Williams went to Palmer College of Chiropractic in Davenport, Iowa. That's the fountainhead, the founding school for chiropractic in the U.S.
The original which doctors?
The original group, right? Founded by D.D. Palmer in 1895. So
imagine what they were trying to sell.
Yeah. Way back then, right?
Science.
They did a great job. Right, because
we're all
it
here.
Spread from there. That's right.
Yeah.
So that school, Palmer College, had foreign students. And these foreign students, typically males, that also happened to play rugby, and they needed a way to make the school affordable. So they pitched the school back in the 1960s or early 70s. If you will give us scholarship, we will form a rugby team, and we will tour and spread the word of chiropractic amongst rugby players in the U.S.
And so there's an underground chiropractic rugby connection that I don't even know about.
Yeah, this is
you're not the only one.
No, there's tons of them. And so
why is that incongruent?
What's incongruent about it? Physical fitness and sport?
I don't know, man. Rugby's rough, dog. I mean, I just
Life is rough. Life is rough. You know, just buckle down, let's go, and how are we going to fix that up so you can play next week?
What's the worst injury you ever had playing rugby? I mean, because you play a lot of it, and I respect you, but I mean, you've broken a leg, femur, anything crazy, I mean, literally.
Nothing too nutty. I've broken my nose a couple times. I've split my face open several times. You know, those are just incidental. That's the nature of sport, contact sports, right? But it's funny because early on in my chiropractic career, I was still playing rugby, and I smashed my face up really good. And I had stitches coming down my nose and wrapped up into here, and I had a chunk taken out here that they had to stitch back together. And it was I looked pretty bad, not to mention the black and blue that comes from that.
Was there a moment where you thought your rugby career was over or no?
Never.
Okay.
I never thought my rugby career was over. The thing is that my wife decided that she said, look, nobody's going to come to a chiropractor that looks like Frankenstein. She's like, you need to back off. So I stopped playing rugby for 6 or 7 minutes.
Coaching career.
So I backed off a little bit. I still played, just not as frequently because I had to put more time into the practice. By then I was having a family, still building a practice. But I was still playing. I played first-level rugby until I was 39. I was way over the hill. I shouldn't have been playing at that age. You know, ask these guys that are athletes.
What's first-level? What's that mean? Do you remember what that means?
There's certain levels of rugby in the community game is called Division One, Division Two, Division Three, sort of. All right, and then so like social side rugby is just guys that go out and want to have a good time and they want to drink beer afterwards. And then after that, you get to Division Three, which is typically small town, might have one team. Division Two and Division One rugby teams might have several teams that are playing. Division One rugby, until you get to the professional ranks, Division One rugby is the top level in the community game. That's called the community game as opposed to the professional
game. How many teams would be to consider that in Baltimore or Maryland?
In Maryland, there's quite a few, but there's...
Get these nachos away from me, Allison!
He's going to be stuffed.
Have a craft tour, man. Please.
So
they're good.
In Baltimore, there's the Baltimore Chesapeake Rugby Club, which is... it all stemmed from Baltimore Rugby, which was founded in 1960. The first top-level rugby team. The first rugby team founded south of the Mason-Dixon line. Was it in 1960?
So you played with Nick in 79, so you weren't that far off the beginning of this.
No.
The beginning of a movement.
Baltimore started in 1960, and then teams break off and spread from there. That's how it happens. These things are like Johnny Appleseeded, right?
Okay.
So Baltimore rugby started. A group of fellows that wanted to play more weren't getting some time with Baltimore, so they broke off in 1968 and formed Chesapeake Rugby Club. That's who I started playing with. From that group, another group broke off, and there was a there was a club in Dundalk for 2 or 3 years. There was a club in Baltimore County called Bacon, which B-A-C-O. It was Baltimore County Rugby. That was around for a while.
2 or 3 years in Dundalk, guys, yeah. Man. You know, nobody wanted to play them, right?
Well, they ended up... What happens is these clubs break off, and then eventually sometimes they'll fold back in. And that's what's happened with us. We went from having, you know, 5 rugby teams in the area to back to 1 large rugby team. So okay. The Baltimore Chesapeake Rugby Club.
Who do you play?
We play teams throughout the Mid-Atlantic, from Pittsburgh to Philly to Norfolk to Richmond to...
Is it like a ranking system or championship or?
Yes, it's a league. You play against teams in your league, and then there'll be a champion out of that, and that then will go
but
to
you
a regional.
Teach me this. I don't know any of this.
Yeah. So then you'll go to a
I'm
regional.
I'm talk about important things like beer and chiropractic with you. You know, my back, concerts, philosophy.
Yes.
Brussels sprouts. We're doing the yes. Maryland Crab Cake Tour. At some point, there's going to be Brussels sprouts. Steve Elliott has been my chiropractor, my friend forever, my rugby buddy. I swear this whole thing is an excuse just to get together with people I love. We're in Towson, which is an area I love. It's a home for me. Nancy Hafford stopped by. We're going to have Jen Fidelli here if I stop spitting food out. I'm having a margarita. Allison's going to sit in the next segment. Has she had her second drink yet?
God, I hope not.
So this is your chance before I give her the mic
yeah.
to say anything you want to say where she doesn't have the ability to have the mic. Because you're going home with her, so you figured this out. But she is the smiling face everyone sees when they come. When you say Elliott Chiropractic Family Life, the family part,
yeah,
it's been a family endeavor from the minute I met you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she...
You can pick on her now or pick on her later, whatever you want to do.
She's the boss, right? She runs the show.
I know that.
There are times where she's not in the office and somebody asks me a question, and I just look at them. I'd say, I don't know. I don't have the answer.
Ask Allison. Right? She'll know.
If you have a question about your spine and your health, I'm your man. But as soon as you ask about anything else... Like, how I don't even know how to pay the bills in this joint.
Okay.
So,
well, that's why you got her.
I mean, she is the backbone of the office. How's that?
The backbone of a chiropractic. Sense of humor. I mean, I come to Lock Raven. Did you get that at Lock Raven or did you get that at Life? Where'd you get that?
I'm not saying.
Marietta, Georgia, right?
Marietta.
All right, we're going to learn about the South. I was going to say the Dirty South, but, you know. Okay, the Dirty South. Allison Elliott's going to join us next. Steve Elliott from Elliott Chiropractic. Like, we're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're going to have crab cakes, I promise. Brussels sprouts, wings. The nachos were fantastic, although I do need some salsa old school. I'm going to do that during the break. And we're going to come back and continue to talk about great things. We're going to be at Coco's next week with the mayor. This week, Steve Elliott. Next week, Brandon Scott. Last week, we were at Greenmount Station. The week before that, we were at Costas. We're going to be doing this each and every Friday. Invite folks out to say hello, fist bump. Yell at me on the internet about all the social distancing we're not doing. It is really nice here today, isn't it? There's a breeze.
Beautiful.
Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah.
Got a Colt sign up on the wall. C-O-L-T. You went to a lot of Colts games, did you? When you
yeah. Have you seen the crossbar? Remember the here? Have you seen that?
From 58?
Yeah.
He used to have it at the old one.
Yeah.
He brought it here?
I don't know if it's here or not.
Well, what happened?
That's my dad's. My dad broke that off. That was my brother's. Brought it to the bar when he joined Scunny when they started.
I knew everything here was stolen. I
thought you were talking about it earlier when you said everything's been stolen. I was like, exactly.
I came in. By the way, there's a Dundalk Club sign over there. There's Artie Donovan's on the wall. I talked about the Charlie Ekman shirt on the wall, but I walked in here. The first thing I did is I walked back. They have a Scunny room back there with all. And most of it came from Canton. I recognized pieces of it. I had never seen it. I was a little late getting here. My back hurt if you didn't hear. So I went in, and the first thing I saw on the wall was my Brooks Robinson jersey that's been hanging at NST for years. I think they got it from Robbie, but it was definitely mine. I mean, I remember Brooks signed it. It was on the wall at the radio. I walked in. I'm like, how did Scunny steal that? He's been dead 9 years. Like, I know that was on my wall 5 years ago. How did it get here? So we're going to have some fun. Jen Fidelli's going to be here from Nacho Mamas. We're going to have Jackie on next month, too, talking some old stories and some Nacho Mamas stories as well. And I think we're going to be doing more eating here. So we have some Brussels sprouts. We're going to get a crab cake as well because it is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Big appreciation to all of our sponsors, including our friends at Wise Markets. This has been a conversation full of wisdom. But the next segment's going to have Allison, so we're going to step it up. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570. We are Towson, Baltimore, and at Nacho Mama's in Towson. Come on by.